This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the winner of this gets to the cup final. I think the winner of this wins the East.
I just think it's so weird that Carolina's a good hockey team. There's no question about it. Not trying to take anything away from them, but it's weird to me that the top two teams in the regular season are 7th and 8th in cup odds of the 8 teams left, and it's weird to me that Carolina is pretty comfortably favored to win this series. Not to say that they're a bad team, but the Capitals were the second-best team in hockey this year, and when they're playing their best, I think they're the best team in hockey. It's just odd to me that it seems like a lot of the analytics and a lot of these things favor the Hurricanes. When, if you watch the Capitals this year, they can play any style. Nate kind of laid this out. You need to play a 2-1 game, they can do that. You want to play 6-5, they can do that. And I think they might have the better goaltender in this series with Logan Thompson, the way that he finished against the Canadiens. And I think they're the better team overall. I'm just surprised that Carolina's favored. Not to say that it won't be a really good series. I'm obviously going to pick the Capitals, but I'm a little surprised by how many people are on the Canes.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that is based on how things kind of finished late in the regular season. And dude, I think there's just a lot of haters, especially in like the hockey influencer world. Guys that just don't love Ovi and think this team is still only Ovi. And I think they're just incorrect. And I think that has a real negative impact kind of on the viewpoint of Washington. But I also don't care. I'm cool with it.
If you want to count us as the underdogs, feel free. I don't care at all. I think it's interesting that you look at this team, and I actually feel pretty good going into this series. Again, not guaranteeing a win, but I feel pretty good going into this series knowing that you've got guys like, look at the series that Dylan Strome had. And I think the thing that gives me the most confidence is going into game one of the Canadian series, we were talking about, do you play LT? Do you stick with Lindgren? You know, it'd been a little bit of time for LT, and he hadn't played in a while. But he got back in there, and then he looked like the LT that we'd seen before the Four Nations, where he was one of the best goaltenders in hockey, versus after when he was a little more average.
And totally.
I think if he's going to be, I think he's the difference. Like we saw when they won in 18, you get the hot goalie on your side for once, and all of a sudden, you can go hoist a cup. I think they might have the hot goalie on this side with Logan Thompson.
Totally. So, our guy John Walton, we're going to track him down. I think he's got the rink report right now, but we're going to try to get Walton tracked down here in a minute. We got to make our official selections for this series coming up here in a few minutes. But I found this really, really stupid. So the Athletic, so Lanfield asked the question, right? Who's the most overrated player in sports right now, across all sports? And then I couldn't help but see the Athletic conducted an anonymous poll this week. And the most overrated player voted by NBA players, they said was Halliburton.
Yeah.
Who they just won game one in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at what his expectations were coming into the season, now, this poll was done a while ago, but when you look at what people were saying about this guy just a year ago compared to what he did this season, I think you can understand that. Not necessarily saying that he's a bad player, but remember, too, these polls don't mean anything because you remember who was voted most overrated player in the NFL going into last season? The MVP of the league, Josh Allen. So, you know, you can take it for what it's worth, but, I mean, this past season he averaged 18-9. He's a point guard, and he does a really good job of running their team. So, I don't know. You can make of it what you will, but I think sometimes people were trying to make him into being a superstar on the Anthony Edwards, Nikola Jokic level, and he was never going to get there. I think that's just false expectations. But 18-9-3, I'll take that on my point guard any day.
Jeffrey, your boy Tyrese Halliburton voted the most overrated player in the NBA. Haters?
I wouldn't say haters because he's inconsistent. Like, he'll give you a just with the Wizards game when we talked about it, I was like, yo, Halliburton dropped 28 and everyone was hitting that last game. That's not going to be the case this game. So I get why they're calling him that because he's kind of inconsistent. But so some are haters, some are not.
I mean, to their point, he took a step back, right? He averaged 20-11 last year and just under 4 rebounds. And this year he averaged 18-9-3.5. So, okay, he took a marginal step back. And I'm not a big Halliburton guy, but I understand this because it's a weird question to ask when you're going around the NBA and asking some of these guys. I think he's an easy name to come up with because who else would fit in this? Like, I think a lot of NBA fans, as haters, would say Jason Tatum. No NBA players are going to say Jason Tatum.
I think a lot of people would say LeBron.
Maybe.
Just LeBron is a straight lightning rod regardless. Let's zoom out from the NBA. Who do you think the most overrated player in sports is? I think the last couple of years with the Jets, probably Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, that reputation still precedes him of what he was when he was winning MVPs in Green Bay, and he's not been that. I'm trying to think of who it is. It's a difficult one for me to
That's
come
open
up
to
with.
The aquarium, too. Most overrated player in sports.
Justin Herbert.
Ooh.
Give me more than 3-word explanation, White Prime.
Well, he's been touted in the same class as the Burrows, the Allens, the Hertzes, and he hasn't won really anything.
They haven't won a playoff game yet, right? They were up 27-0 against the Jags and gave that up. They got thumped by the Texans last year. Apparently, I don't know where Jim Harbaugh might have said this to like Colin Cowherd or something, but he said he woke up in the middle of the night and had this vision of Justin Herbert going into the Hall of Fame. So to that point, maybe they need
that
to
chill. That sounds like
a
Jim Harbaugh. We talked about this guy a little bit earlier. I think he could fit into that category because he's talked about among the best. And Carl Anthony Towns, at times, is viewed as a true superstar, and I don't know that he always fits that. I think
the
he's a really good player.
The term superstar gets used just way too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of ones.
Derek Jeter?
You could definitely throw that name out there. He was not a good defensive shortstop.
Any pinstripers in the aquarium?
Does that get Jeff fired up? I think Jeff cares more about Tyrese Halliburton.
I think Landfill's the one that's going to get mad about Jeter. I also think
it's just trolling and not serious, and everybody can see it.
It's
just
not
so transparent.
I think if Derek Jeter's not on the Yankees and like...
Do you want to know who's a guy who's really overrated? Cal Ripken.
Don't you dare.
Cal Ripken.
Don't you dare.
Oh, he played a lot.
I show up to work every day, too. No one cares.
Dude.
Overrated.
Cal Ripken was an actual league.
Marginal talent at best.
Cal Ripken was a league MVP.
Yeah, in the 80s when everybody was hungover all the time. No one cares.
Jeter was never the best player on his own team.
He was just amazing for 17 years.
He was never the best player on his own team.
Just a great guy. Everybody loved him.
Ladies did. Gave him a gift bag on the way out.
Good for him.
If we're going with all-time players here, I looked up a list. Number one, I think this is from 2018. Bleacher Report has Joe Namath as number one.
I mean, dude, Joe Namath played before color TV. Like, is that really relevant?
It probably is not.
There's a 22-year-old kid driving his car right now who does Uber Eats or something, listening to us, who's like, yo, who's Joe Namath?
I mean, he probably isn't, but if you just look, like, in 1967, 26 touchdowns to 28 picks. He finished his career with almost 50 more interceptions than touchdowns. I think you make the argument, but he's also a legend because he called they were going to win a Super Bowl against the best team, and then they did it. Right? So you get some cachet for that.
If you really want to talk about overrated players, it's not LeBron, but LeBron's teammate, Luka.
I think
the guy doesn't play defense.
Luka.
Okay, so here was mine.
There's a case.
There's a couple, and it definitely plays in because they wore a uniform that I will despise forever. Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. Dez was always talked about as one of the best, and he was good for a short period, but I never viewed him like, to me, when Washington would play Dallas, Dez Bryant was, you had the understandable respect for him, but it was a guy like Cole Beasley that always scared me more than Dez. And I always thought Tony Romo, like, if we're doing overrated, remember when a couple years ago, or maybe I forget when it was, he was eligible for the Hall of Fame class, and people were like, is Tony Romo a Hall of Famer? What the heck are you talking about? Did you watch that guy play football? No, he's not a Hall of Famer. He was a fine quarterback. He's not a Hall of Famer. If he's going to go in the Hall of Fame, it's for his contributions to football by being a decent football player and a good broadcaster.
I totally agree.
Like, it's there's just no chance that Tony Romo is a Hall of Famer.
I mean, dude, there's no chance Romo. I think Michael Irvin's numbers do not.
I mean, if you want to stay with.
Do not validate his status as this, like, all-time legend. Like, Gary Clark's numbers and Michael Irvin's numbers are really comparable. And Gary Clark never gets to sniff the Hall of Fame, even though he should.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you want to talk still with the Cowboys, people would bring up maybe Troy Aikman.
I just got a text on that.
Like, I mean, his numbers aren't great, and he always had guys like Emmitt Smith. And
I just got a text that Jay Cutler has better numbers than Troy Aikman.
See? Some people are going to bring up Eli. I always thought Eli was fine. Like, I think what happened is the final couple years of Eli's career, people look at him as just some trash quarterback, which he kind of turned into at the end of his career. I think in his prime, he was fine. He wasn't someone that was a top five quarterback at any point, but he also was incredible in those playoffs.
I don't think he should go to the Hall of Fame. I think he will. I guess he is, right? Or did he not get in?
He did not get in.
I don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think he will get in because he won in New York and his last name's Manning. I mean, relatively hot take. I don't think he's overrated, but I think during the Manning-Brady era, people thought Manning was the better player by such a wide margin that the margin was razor thin.
Well, and I think they liked those teams more. I think everybody was cheering for the Colts.
Well, and Peyton's like, just way more likable.
Yeah, so I think that played into it. But yeah, Brady was the better player.
Tim is in Haymarket. Tim, who's overrated, dude?
What's up, guys? I just want to say Mike Trout never played a full season, never won a single playoff game.
I mean, he's never even been to the playoffs, right?
No, he went to a playoff game or a playoff series and lost.
Yep.
What are the Angels doing that they had Trout and Ohtani and sucked? What is going on out there? Does Dan Snyder own them too?
Yeah.
Thanks, Tim.
That's an interesting one because when you look at all the metrics and stuff, that wouldn't agree. But when you look at success, and to his point, I mean, he played a lot of games early in his career recently, but basically the last 6-7, I have to look exact number of years, he hasn't been able to play a full season. He's on the IL right now with an injury. But, yeah, I mean, you can definitely make an argument because he won MVPs, look really, really good, has no playoff success at all.
I got one we can agree on. Joel Embiid.
Yes.
Do not use the word superstar with that guy.
Doesn't play enough games.
No. I found this from Bleacher Report, I think. This is new. The number one most overrated current athlete. You got a guess?
What sport?
Football. Non-quarterback.
I got nothing.
Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, he has not been good the last couple of years. He still gets that reputation from his rookie season. I think Stingley actually has passed him. And remember, Stingley had a bad rookie season. Right. People were like, oh, what the heck happened to him?
Right.
I think Stingley's passed him.
Kyle Pitts.
Oh, yes.
Done nothing.
So, no one cares about my fantasy team, but it's the worst decision I've ever made. We have a dynasty team. and I got excited because I was going to take Kyle Pitts and passed on Ja'Marr Chase.
That's tough. Yeah. A lot of people say this one, Rudy Gobert.
That's an interesting one because he has no offensive game. I know you watched what game 5 against the Lakers when he went nuts.
But
on
they
the
have
offense.
No big men.
But he
was
has,
like I was guarding him.
Yeah, he has no offensive game, but the impact he has defensively is noticeable. Anytime you watch a game that Gobert plays, I'll agree. I can't stand Rudy Gobert, but he has a huge impact on the game because people don't want to go in the paint when he's there.
There's some soccer players on this list. I don't really know. This one is interesting. I don't know that this is accurate. You think Tyreek Hill is overrated?
No. I mean, I think, where do you think he ranks right now? Without all the extra crap that comes with him, he's probably what? He's still a top five receiver.
There will come a time where he is, because the crap, eventually the speed will subside and the crap will overtake it.
Yeah.
But right now, the speed's still there. Like, here's my thing with Tyreek Hill. We keep having this discussion about Bill Belichick and how this girl has gotten complete control of his life.
Yeah.
Like, I know how. That woman has one very extraordinary skill set, right? Mm. And Bill Belichick's putting up with all the stuff because of that one extraordinary skill set. That's Tyreek Hill. He's the crazy girl that took over Belichick's life. He just happens to be an NFL receiver. He's so damn fast that you put up with everything.
Yeah, and he's a unique style of fast, too,
totally,
where
man.
There's some dudes that are straight line, like you think of Jameson Williams.
He's both.
And you got guys that are shifty, and yeah, he's got everything. He reminds me of like how Steph Curry, there's some guys that are set shooters, there's some guys that can shoot off the bounce, and there's some guys that can do everything. And Curry's the one that can do everything. Tyreek's the one is a speed receiver that can do everything. He's unique that way. But I don't think he's overrated.
I got a question for Seamhead Toby.
Yeah.
Especially with considering the start he's having. Juan Soto?
No. He's not overrated. I mean,
I don't mind tweaking Met fans. He's also hitting .258.
Yeah, he's not the most overrated player. He's not.
Who's the most overrated player in baseball? Trout? That seems hard to believe.
Right now, it might be Corbin Burns. The way that he's been pitching.
At least those let him go.
They should still have him. Honestly. The thing that we're not talking enough about, and I'm glad Jeff's not here, is the best player in baseball by a lot is Aaron Judge. And it's not even close. Have you seen his numbers, JP?
Yeah.
I mean, 400 still? That guy over those last 162 games has 63 homers, is batting like .390. He's unreal. But it's crazy because Soto goes to the free agency and gets this $700 million contract, when in reality, the best player on the Yankees last year, maybe not in the postseason, but the best player on the Yankees last year right now is Aaron Judge.
Totally.
He's last the best player in baseball.
Too. Yeah. Alex is in Silver Spring. Alex, who's the most overrated in sports?
Man, you got to say Captain Kirk. I tell you what. But he's going to be on the
Kirk
Hall
Cousins,
of Fame.
Cousins, you're
for,
saying?
Yes. And he's definitely going to open up a new Hall of Fame on how to get paid, though. So I'm not going to hate on that. I'm glad he's gotten paid. And look, and by the way, JP, I just found one of Jeff's golf balls. It says to call this number, but it also says I got some cash tickets as well. So what's going on?
You can keep the golf ball, but if you want the cap tickets, you got to call back at 12:45, brother. Thanks for the call.
Imagine that. All right, brother.
We're going to keep the phone lines open, 800-636-1067. If you want to chime in on the most overrated player in sports right now, I got a name that might be pretty obvious that none of us have said so far. Next on The Fan. One of the best parts about 90s rap, throughout the decade, people had to point out what year it was when they were dropping bars. 1993, 1994, 99, whatever it was. Shout out to TLC. Dude, I remember I was in middle school when TLC got like really big. And they were walking around like, Toby, I don't know how to explain this better. They like wore condoms on their clothing. Like they just had like condoms pinned to their t-shirts. It was a very.
That's an interesting look.
It was an interesting time, the early 90s.
It's not something I would do.
Interesting time to be a young man. All right. Jason Holcomb tweeted at me The most overrated player in the NFL right now is Justin Herbert. He's good, but as far as he is perceived, not even close. He hasn't won in playoffs, ought to come up short in big moments, and continues to be ranked very high every preseason. I'd like quick agreement on this. Most overrated player in hockey? I got it. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Sebastian Aho. That's what we're rolling with this week. And I'll come up with a new dude
yes.
next week.
Yes. Completely agree. Completely agree.
Aho, most overrated player in hockey. All right. I'm glad we cleared that up. What about Dak? Dak Prescott. Toby's in here trying to defend Dak.
I'm not defending Dak. But I feel like Dak has kind of had this ongoing roller coaster ride of where he's looked at, where I thought early in his career he was overrated to the point that everyone talked bad about this guy or talked good about this guy when he was mediocre. And then I thought he got better and people just hated him because he's the Cowboys quarterback. And I think he was a little bit underrated. And then I think now he's maybe back to being a little bit overrated. But I don't know. I think you can make the everyone hates on this guy all the time. And I don't think he's a terrible quarterback. I don't think he's great. He's probably, what, 12th best quarterback in the league, somewhere around there? Maybe 12 to 15, somewhere around there? And I think a lot of people just look at him as garbage. So you could maybe make the argument that he's underrated, but he's the Cowboys quarterback, so he gets talked about all the time. I wish I didn't have to hear about him all the time. So maybe in that case, it makes him overrated.
Tony Romo, that is Dak Prescott's ceiling. Tony Romo, I'm going to perform well in the preseason. I mean, in the regular season, I'm going to choke away my big moments. I'm not going to play at a champion caliber in my big moments.
I wonder how much that leg injury really derailed him. Because before he had that leg injury, remember some of the stats he was putting up that season? Now, the Cowboys had a horrendous defense.
Dak, you're saying?
Yeah. Like, he was putting up stupid numbers to start that year.
He was. Can I just a quick straw poll in the aquarium? Is Toby a secret Dak Prescott fan?
No, don't
Kinda
do this.
Seems like it, right?
Maybe.
Don't do this.
I don't know. Riding or dying.
JP's wearing blue today.
Dude, I own. This isn't even blue. It's like purple.
Whatever it is. A little Cowboys-ish.
Jalen Hurts.
Tread lightly.
Jalen Hurts in the playoffs is incredible. Hurts just in the Super Bowl, in his two Super Bowl performances are out of this world, some of the throws he's made.
Mm-hmm. Outplayed Mahomes in the Super Bowl he lost.
Both of them. The one he won and the one he lost.
That's true, yeah.
But Jalen Hurts in the regular season? Yeah. Like, last year, he started 15 games and threw 18 touchdowns. He averaged 190 yards per game passing last year. That passing game, remember, late into the season, people were like, oh, man, Philly's broken. A.J. Brown's reading a book on the sideline. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's not in that top tier, but I have a hard time hating when every time he plays Washington, it seems like he plays well, especially recently. Now, you know, a couple of years ago, that wasn't the case, but now that he's evolved, every time he plays this team, it just seems haterish if you throw Jalen Hurts in there. But I think against most teams, like, I don't know that a lot of people are scared about Jalen Hurts. You're scared about everything else around Jalen Hurts. You're scared of A.J. Brown. You're scared of Saquon and
best
all that stuff.
Best line in football.
But, yeah, that's kind of the stuff that happens when you have a guy like Saquon that's going to take away some of that yardage, and you have an O-line like that that you can rely on, even if it's not Saquon back there, you can hand the football off. So, I don't know. I think maybe slightly in the regular season, but dude just won a Super Bowl. I'm not going to hate.
Why Brian won't speak, but just dropping bombs in the text thread. You got to explain that one. White Brian says Jalen Hurts is Eli Manning.
They're both very average in the regular season, but in the playoffs, for some reason, they can get it done. And I think I'd rather take that than like a Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I mean, I would much rather have a clutch quarterback who is kind of average than a guy who can put up gaudy numbers but shrinks in big spots, which to your point earlier, could be Justin Herbert as well, right? Like, really talented quarterback that can put up some good numbers and just doesn't come up big in big spots.
I'd rather have Jaden Daniels.
Well, yeah, the good top five quarterback that's also clutch.
Right. What do you think of Jordan Love?
He's kind of up and down. I don't know what to make of him because he doesn't have a true number one receiver. But he also makes so many boneheaded decisions at times, and then he comes back and makes up for it. They put themselves in a weird spot when they drafted him, didn't play him for so long. I know they have the quarterback, so that's ultimately the end goal you want to have. But they're put in a bad spot where they have to pay this guy as one of the top quarterbacks in the league when they don't even know what he is. And I think you still don't fully know what he is. He's not a top 10 quarterback to me.
All right. I want to transition here because we got to get into Caps Canes. We've booked the foremost hockey expert in the city for 12:45. So, you know, strap on your seatbelts. Mm-hmm.
He knows the most, he'll tell you.
Certainly. You know what Phil Mickelson's nickname was but from others? You ever hear Fig Jam?
Uh-uh.
Bleep, I'm good, just ask me. Fig Jam. That applies to our guests at 12:45, too. Series starts tonight. How we feeling, boys? Like, I feel good, and I was very nervous at the end of the regular season, and I have this thing with the NFL draft that at the closer you get to the draft, the more you have to, like, sever your brain, like Lumen Technologies, and just remember what you knew at the end of the college football season.
Yeah.
Because that's what matters, is if those guys were good on the field. And that's what you got to remind yourself as you get to the draft. And I wonder if I am at the end of the regular season when I was, I mean, because of the Ovi chase, I was covering every Caps game there for a stretch. I was at every game. They were scuffling a bit. And I was like, man, Carolina makes me nervous. Now, today, I don't feel that way. I think it's going to be a tough series, but I think Washington wins in six. Do you think I am tricking myself too much? How do you feel?
I feel good. You know, I feel as confident as you can be against a good Carolina team, and I brought him up so many times today, but I feel so good about Logan Thompson in the net that even if there's some shortcomings, he's going to come up big, stand on his head, and having guys like Dylan Strome show that he's a really good playoff performer and be able to get the amount of points he did in series one. I think it was 7 points in the first series. You've still got Alex Ovechkin, who you know is going to be able to, you can rely on him to put it home when you need to on the power play. And I think the team just started playing better overall. And I think, too, the maturity of Tom Wilson this playoffs and this season, where you've seen him evolve, and now he can still be that physical enforcer and still be the skilled player as well, where he understands that mix. I feel good going into this series. You know, you've got the guys, and when this team is playing at its best, they can beat anybody. It's just about doing it for a full 60 minutes in all three periods. I think they can do it, and I think if there's shortcomings, that Logan Thompson's going to come up big.
I'm with you. I feel pretty good, man. Now, we did miss one in our overrated conversation. This dude is accurate here. JB, who do you got? Who's overrated?
Man, JP, Toby, what's going on, man? Like I was telling Jeff, it's got to be James Harden, brother. I mean, the man does his thing in the regular season, but when it gets to the playoffs, he does diddly. I mean, the man has 55 playoff games with less than 4 field goals. This is crazy, bro. Like, you can't tell me he's not getting paid to throw games in the playoffs, brother.
Dude, that's all he I had got to 7 say. Points in game 7.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. This dude is the worst.
7 points in game 7.
He's a
good
fraud,
call.
Man.
I meant to bring him up. I you're correct. You are very, very much correct, sir.
Yeah, and his problem, too, is I think he's a really good player, but he was someone that's a regular season player. I think this is where Luka runs into problems, too, where they play this style of game that is so focused on them just having the basketball in their hands and not getting anyone else involved. It's essentially 4 dudes standing around, and I'm going to go ISO. I don't know that you can win in the playoffs with that. Harden struggled with that. I think Luka with the Mavs ran into a wall with that last year, and I will see if that changed with the Lakers. But yeah, I think to your point, he doesn't do anything in game sevens. He comes up short all too often. I mean, his Rockets teams, right, were the one that had that long 3-point miss streak that cost them a series. I think they could have won that one series against Golden State in the Western Conference Finals a couple years back.
Dude,
Chris Paul got hurt.
The wildest thing is he was on the Rockets and Golden State beat them enough that the Rockets had to start a rebuild. And then the Rockets are back, and Golden State just took them out. Like, that's how long ago that was. He's now on, like, his 8th team.
Yeah.
Harden, entirely overrated. He's a scorer. He's really annoying to watch play basketball, though. And Brunson has some of that in his game, which I'm
not a big Brunson guy. I used to like him. He was an underdog. Now it's a little, eh.
He's so good late. He needs a different hairstyle, though, I would say. He has who's your guy, White Brian? Broom?
Janai?
He's got a little broom to his hair. White Brian, how you feeling about the Caps tonight? We feeling good?
Yeah, they're going to win the Stanley Cup.
Whoa.
We're feeling good about the Carolina series. He's feeling good about the whole thing.
I like it.
And I like that.
And he's wearing his pink pants, so he's feeling himself. When we come back, we're giving away Caps tickets, and we have the foremost hockey expert on the East Coast joining the program. This is definitely the new song. When I think of Afternoon Delight, just somebody getting lucky in the middle of the day, I think of Chris Russell. Also, here we go. Turn that up. Bang. Chris joins us to talk Canes Caps.
I am an afternoon delight.
Indeed. The foremost hockey expert on the East Coast. Just ask him. Hello, Chris.
Hi, boys. How are you?
We're great.
Good to see you.
We're great. Now, Jeffrey, you let me know when you're ready to press that button, and we'll do the thing. How should we be feeling tonight, Roos? Caps Canes game one.
I think feeling pretty good. I think if the Capitals can take it to them physically from the start, like they did at the very start of the Montreal series, and sustain that and keep that up and stay out of the box and wear down Carolina, who's a little bit smaller,
they
not as small as Montreal. But, you know, I think if you can do that and lean on them, you know, over 5-6 games, I think you'll eventually wear them out. Now, you got to do that without going into the box.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to be...
You know how to wear it out without going into the box.
Of course.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right now, Jeff, press the button. 800-636-1067. Caller number 9 wins a pair of tickets to Caps Game 2 for the 2025 playoffs. Caps, Canes, Thursday, May 8th against Carolina at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Bruce, it's been great. We've given away two sets of tickets so far today.
Pretty cool.
One dude with his son going.
I heard the guy from Spotsylvania,
yeah,
right?
Man. Oh, yeah.
9-year-old daughter. I mean, how cool is that?
That's really neat.
I mean, my daughter, by the way, she turns 21 today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Natalie. She's a big Caps fan, but she would
21?
Like, yeah, she would like kill for like Caps playoff tickets, so.
Well, happy birthday, Natalie.
Thank you.
One matchup you're really zeroing in on for this series.
So, I mean, it goes without saying that whoever Pierre-Luc Dubois, I assume it'll be Sebastian Aho, goes against...
Aho.
No, Aho.
No. I checked. It's Aho.
Anyway.
You got to put down Aho.
Anyway, whoever... Whatever you call that guy, versus Pierre-Luc Dubois, which I assume will be the matchup at home. Now, again, on the road in Raleigh, Saturday and Monday, a little bit different because they have last change and last matchup and all that stuff. So, I mean, I assume that will be the matchup. If they can win that, if they can keep that guy neutralized, again, not that he's the only threat by any means. Carolina is a deep
team.
They're
good, dude.
They are a deep team. They're balanced. They're speedy. They're transition. They are physical. They're not like some wallflower or anything like that. But I do think the Capitals are more physical. Again, I think that's the key matchup. Pierre-Luc Dubois. Also, you know, I think Lars Eller was a guy who I thought had a pretty good series in different ways against Montreal than what showed up in the scoreboard or on the scoreboard. If they can get that four line center quartet, foursome, whatever you want to call it, between Dowd, foursome, golf foursome, hockey foursome, not anything else, JP. Dowd, Eller, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and Dylan Strome. I mean, if those four guys can rock and roll through this series and be a force, not just, again, scoring, but defensively, winning faceoffs, killing penalties in Dowd's case, again, being a chippy factor like Lars Eller with all of his experience. Again, this is why I've loved the Capitals all year. A, veteran goal, B, better overall roster, but down the middle, that is something that this team has not had straight down the middle all four lines since the 18 Stanley Cup.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. What do you make of LT and Net? I've been talking about it all day. He's kind of my big confidence factor. Why I have the way that he played in Game 5 against Canadiens gives me confidence that maybe this team can have the hot goalie going into this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, they have the better goalie, right? I mean, Frederik Andersen just got a contract extension, and he's good, but he's not great. Logan Thompson is absolutely the advantage that the Capitals have. Clearly, I don't think that anybody could really dispute, right? But that being said, there are times where Logan Thompson, and I saw it a couple of times in the Montreal series, especially in those game period three flurries in games 1, 2, and 3, where sometimes he gets, I don't know, a little erratic, and he gets knocked out of position, or he knocks himself out of position trying
to... Or there's a giveaway in their zone.
Well, and yeah, absolutely. But there's just sometimes... Now, remember, he did not play in the final matchup between these two when they blew a two-goal third-period lead.
I believe Lindgren started 3 of the 4 matchups against Carolina.
I think so, too. And,
part of
the problem is, and I've been talking about this, is the two losses in Raleigh came on back-to-back nights, meaning they played the night before in Boston, then flew overnight to Raleigh and had to play Raleigh again the next night. Earlier in the year, they played at home, won a game, I forget who they played, and then had to go to Raleigh, which, again, no, not a big deal. But when you're playing this team back-to-back nights, which, oh, by the way, you don't have to in this series, I think that's a major disadvantage, especially when you're in Raleigh. You have to go to Raleigh. You do not have to play back-to-back nights.
And the one game they got their ass kicked was they had just played 5 of 6 on the road, and it was a back-to-back. And Carolina had been off for 3 days, and they had the number one team in the division coming to town, and they were up for it. Like, that was a time slot.
Look at my guy, J.P. Finley.
Oh, he knows.
Just breaking it down.
All right, you're not going anywhere. But real quick, it's time to give away a pair of tickets here. My guy Keith in Laurel. Keith, congrats, man. You win a pair of tickets for game 2. How fired up are you?
Oh, wonderful. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. Who you taking?
Taking the wife.
Awesome, man. Enjoy it. Go Caps.
Go Caps. You got it, boss.
All right, dude. See ya.
Congrats, Keith.
Attaboy.
I think that guy's good at this. I feel like, is that the same? I feel like, no, different guy? Okay. Sounded like somebody that won Game 1 tickets, but good for that person. Are you going tonight? Will Roos be in the building?
I am.
No colonoscopy. How did everything go?
No colonoscopy. It went about as good as a colonoscopy could go.
You're clear?
Yeah, I'm clear. For 10 years, if I make it that far, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. I mean, that's rather morbid, but I'm glad.
Just being honest. I mean,
you looking at actuarial tables or
something? No, it's just 10 years a long time, you know?
Indeed.
Yeah, but thank you for asking. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
It was an unpleasurable experience, but it wasn't.
Well, we could probably stop talking about it.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't as bad.
We missed you in the building for game 5, though.
Yeah, I missed being in the building for game 5. I was in a different building.
What are you wearing today? Blazer?
No.
You wearing this?
I mean, I could put on a blazer if you want. I have one in the car. If it's cold in there, dude. Well, I do have like a one of those quarter zip type things that I could put over. But I could put on a blazer. I do carry it in my car for events like this.
If you have it in your car for events like this, shouldn't you wear it to the event?
Perhaps.
I have a blazer.
I mean, JP, you look good. B, you're on TV. I'm not. I'm not important.
Well, I'd like to. Can I switch gears?
Sure.
I'd like to address something. Are you familiar with the term coaching tree?
Mike Shanahan's got a great coaching tree. Sure.
And you know what Mike Shanahan would do if he thought one of the young assistants on his tree was being insulted by others? He would confront that person. Toby Altizer's on my tree, damn it.
Yes.
And you've been calling him entitled.
I think you have this all wrong.
Not me.
JP's never been one to twist things. He's never done that.
I've been saying this. When young Toby joined the crew, the Odyssey family, I thought he was an extremely polite, nice young man, hardworking, diligent, all of that. He still is all of that. It's just I've noticed since he's become an extra wheel on this show and on Grant and Danny, and anointed himself as the third leg
I don't think I've anointed myself anything, especially a third leg.
I've just noticed
an extra wheel and a third leg.
Yeah, I've just noticed
those aren't the most flattering terms.
I've just noticed a change in his prism, in his perspective, in his confidence, in his boldness to call out people, to make jokes, to do things that is very un-Toby-like. I thought we were buying and getting a wholesome young buck. I already have problems with another one. I don't need any problems with this one.
I do fear the amount of time Toby and Jeff spend together, because that is opposite ends of the young man's spectrum right there, what Jeff is into and what Toby is into.
I would just say this.
We have a professor here. We have a chief BS officer.
Yes.
Somebody that knows what is BS and what isn't. Leville, Rooster says Toby is now an entitled punk. I'd argue he's still a really nice young man. Where do you land on this?
I like Toby.
Yeah, we like Toby. So you hate Toby now and think he's entitled.
I never said I hated Toby. I'm just trying to keep him in line. I've seen how egos can ruin people in this business.
I mean, one thing about me is I have a large ego.
Yeah,
and
trying to keep him grounded.
I'm the guy that has the large ego, and Rooster's the one to call people out for having too big of an ego.
Pretty much, that's how it works. I don't have an ego.
Really?
Yeah. I lost mine a long time ago, JP. I've been knocked down the tree so many times.
A lot of times that's true. You like to be very self-effacing. But once you get going, like, you're like a pro wrestler. Once the rooster hits and Chris is gone, Rooster got an ego, dog.
JP's figured out my
You got the alter ego.
I'm a little bit of a showman. A little bit.
The greatest showman on earth. The foremost hockey mind on the East Coast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Chris, thank you for your time. Everybody enjoy the program at 2 o'clock.
Yes, that. Caps in 7 is my official prediction.
Caps in 7 the Roost. Who wins tonight?
The Carolina Hurricane.
Oh, what a hater. Get the hell out of here. Seriously, get out of here. When we come back, NFC East Roundup with the Dallas Cowboys. Nui Scruggs joins the show.